Right, the reading is John 5, 16 to 30. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son, just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has lived in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will raise to live, and those who have done evil will raise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me."
Well, good evening, everyone. So we're going to have a zombie-themed talk tonight. That's right. And zombies have enjoyed something of a renaissance in popular culture in recent years. There's been loads of films about them, from Dawn of the Dead to Shaun of the Dead, and no video game is complete these days without a zombie-themed bonus level. But the reason they're important tonight is that they're quite a good illustration for the state we were in before we believed in Jesus. The Bible described us as dead in our transgressions and sins, Ephesians 2. We thought we were alive, but actually, we were dead. We were spiritually dead. But Jesus came to bring life. And verse 24, as Andy mentioned at the start, is the key verse in this passage. So if you only remember one thing tonight, or you only underline one verse in your Bibles, make sure it's verse 24. "I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." So, you can have a kip for the next 18 minutes if you like, so long as you promise me that you will commit that verse to memory. Right then. Last week we saw Jesus heal a paralyzed man on the Sabbath. The man had been paralyzed for 38 years. Like, imagine that. That's longer than I've been alive, just about. only just. But at the command of Jesus, he is instantly healed. "Get up, pick up your mat and walk," Jesus said. And the man does. It's absolutely amazing. But the Jewish religious leaders, they find out about this healing. Rather than praising God for it, they get the ump. "Why is he working on the Sabbath?" they say. And why is he encouraging other people to do so? And tonight's passage is Jesus' answer to these guys. And it breaks down into three simple points. Firstly, the Father and the Son are always at work. Secondly, bringing life to the dead. And thirdly, the Father has entrusted judgment to the Son. So then, how does Jesus answer them? Well, firstly, he reminds them that the Father and the Son are always at work. Verses 16 and 17, if you've got the passage open in front of you. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work, to this very day, and I too am working." Why does Jesus work on the Sabbath? He works because he sees his Father working. Now, God the Father is constantly at work, maintaining and upholding his creation. If he were to stop working for just a single second, the entire universe would blow apart into a billion pieces and then cease to exist. And he's also intimately involved in his creation as well, in the lives of his people, bringing about his plans and purposes. So God the Father works, so God the Son works too. He follows his Father's example. And the implications of this are not lost on the Jews. They go absolutely ballistic. Verse 18. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Not only was Jesus a lawbreaker in their eyes, but he was also a blasphemer as well. Now, the Jews were happy to accept that God was the father of everyone. But for Jesus to claim that God was his father and that he had a special relationship of equality with God was absolutely outrageous to them. So they wanted to kill him. Now, we saw last week that Jesus is not just an ordinary man. He is the Son of God, which means that he is God. And that idea carries on into this week as well. And we will learn more about his relationship with his Father too. Now let's read verses 19 and 20. Jesus gave them this answer. "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these." Now, the picture Jesus is painting here is that of a family business. Father and son working together. If they had a shop on the high street, maybe it would be called Yahweh and Son. And it's a bit like an apprenticeship. Back in the olden days, before people can travel too far, a son would usually learn his father's trade. So, for example, I wouldn't have become a boffin like I am today. Instead, I would have become a car mechanic like my father. I would have taken up an apprenticeship in his workshop, and I would have learnt his trade. He would have taught me everything he knows, and eventually I would have taken over the family business. And it's a bit like that here as well. The Father and the Son are both at work. Whatever the Father does, the Son does too. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does. Like Father, like Son. So, it is a relationship of love, and they're united in their work. The Father is the head of the relationship, and the Son is completely dependent upon him. Verse 19. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. But the Son is not weak or inferior. In fact, he can do whatever the Father can do. The rest of verse 19. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. But he obediently submits himself to the authority of the Father who sent him. So the Father and the Son are at work together. But what is the work that they're doing? Which aspect of their work is Jesus wanting to emphasize here? Well, that brings us on to our second point tonight, and that is the Father and the Son bring life to the dead. The Father and the Son bring life to the dead. Verse 21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. So they are in the business of bringing life to the dead. Now God is the source of all life. He has life in himself, verse 26, and he gives it to us as a gift. He has the power to give life, and he has power to take it away as well. And he has given the same power to his Son. Jesus gives life to whomever he pleases. And some of the miracles that Jesus does, like when he raised Lazarus from the dead, are proof to us that he has this power. I am the resurrection and the life, he says in John 11. But at this point, in this passage, Jesus is talking about giving life to those who are spiritually dead. And as we saw at the start, this is the condition of all of humanity. Because of our sin, we are cut off from God, the source of life. And as a result, we are spiritually dead, in rebellion against him, in denial of his existence, and unable to please him. But God sent Jesus to rescue us and bring us life, to forgive us, and to restore our relationship with the Father. Now, this is possible because Jesus has dealt with the thing that cut us off from God, which is our sin. When he died on the cross, he took the punishment for our sins on himself. Now he is able to give life and forgiveness. So the Father and the Son are in the business of bringing life to the dead. So let's put some stickers on the shop front, shall we? How about special offer? It is a special offer, isn't it? And how about life for the dead? And I promised you zombies as well, so here they are. They're actually supposed to be zombies, not just students coming home from a night out. So, the dead go in, and the living come out. The dead go in, and the living come out. You see, the Father and the Son are in the business of bringing life to the dead. But how does it work in practice? We don't really walk into a shop on the high street to get life. Well, verse 24 tells us how it works. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. It's extremely simple. Whoever hears the word of Jesus and believes in the Father has eternal life. That's it. It's a free gift. All we need to do is believe the message of Jesus. And that is to admit that we are spiritually dead and to ask him for life. And if we do, he will forgive our sins. They will not be there anymore to condemn us on the last day. And notice that the moment you believe, it is a done deal, it's finished. We cross over from death to life now. We have eternal life now. Verse 24 is all in the past tense. And this should be a great comfort to those of us who worry whether we're saved or not. It's simple. If we believe, we are saved. And now we are living in an age where the message of Jesus is going out into the world and having its effect. In verse 25, I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now is the time for the gospel to go out into the world. The time for the spiritually dead to hear and to live. And we have an opportunity now to respond to God's great offer. But the opportunity won't last forever. Here's another couple of stickers for the shop front. Free gift. We can stick that on. And also, for a limited time only. The offer is only open until the end of our lives, or until Jesus returns, whichever happens first. And that brings us to the final section tonight. The Father has entrusted judgment to the Son. The Father has entrusted judgment to the Son. Verses 22 and 23. The Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son, just as they honour the Father. So the Father has given the task of judgment to the Son. And the reason for that is so that the Son would be honoured just as much as the Father is. And that makes sense, because after all, Jesus is God, and therefore deserves to be honoured and worshipped as God. The end of verse 23 is a pretty stark warning to the Jewish leaders that Jesus is talking to here. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. You know, those guys claim to honour God, but they are rejecting his Son and even plotting to kill him. Their behaviour shows that they are in fact far from God. And Jesus will be the perfect judge as well, verse 30. Because he will seek to please his Father, who himself is perfectly just and right. So, Jesus will judge. But when will he judge? And who will he judge? Verses 28 and 29 tell us. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. At some point in the future, Jesus will return. He will give a command, and everyone who has ever lived will rise from their grave and face him in judgment. All of our deeds will be exposed. Everything that we have ever said, everything we've ever done, everything we've ever thought, and Jesus will give his verdict. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Justice will be done. No one will get away with anything. Now, I must admit that I found these verses quite difficult to understand at first. Because we teach that we are saved by believing in Jesus and not by doing good things, like in verse 24. But here it looks like we are saved by doing good things. Now what's going on? What is the relationship between what we believe and what we do? Well, what we believe will affect what we do, won't it? If we believe in Jesus, good works will follow as we try and please him. Good works are the evidence, if you like, that we believe in Jesus. But it is the belief in Jesus itself that actually saves us. John 6, verse 40 says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So those who believe have spiritual life now and will be raised to life on the last day. But those who reject Jesus remain under condemnation now and will face judgment on the last day. How should we apply this to our lives then? Well, first of all, have we responded to Jesus' message? That's the most important thing. If we haven't yet, then we should think seriously about these things. We only have a limited time to respond to Jesus, so we should hurry up and do so. Because if we won't accept Jesus now as Saviour, we will meet him later as Judge. But if we have put our trust in Jesus, then fantastic. That means that we too are children of God, and he is our heavenly Father. So why don't we get involved in the family business too? Let's get involved in the work of sharing his message of life with those in the world who need to hear it, to help them to pass from death to life and to avoid the judgment to come. Let's pray as we finish. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you had mercy on us. Lord, we thank you that you did not treat us as our sins deserved, but instead you sent Jesus so that we could be rescued from death to life. Please help us to accept your offer of life, Lord, if we haven't already. And if we have, please help us to get involved in sharing this message of life with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.